Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. I don't know. Whatever you celebrate, we're going to celebrate it with you. Today is Saturday, and of course, there's a lot going on today. There's some college football bowl games going on. There's some NFL pro football games going on. The NBA has some action today. There's some college basketball happening today. And we're going to try to keep you abreast of everything that's happening. Ray Porter Jr. is here with us today. Welcome back, Ray.
Thank you.
Vince Butts is here with us as well, and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. It's Urban Media Today, talking sports. You know how we do. And I'm going to call this week's show, it's going to be a Vince Butts show this week. Because Vince is up on everything that's happening.
And my coming out party.
Yeah, your coming out party. You're going to make it happen. This week, let's talk college football, because they had the early signing period, which was on Wednesday, which was the 20th of December, extended up until the 22nd of December.
For those who aren't aware, college football decided to do a December signing day. So high school players can sign a national letter of intent. So it allows high school players to theoretically sign their last national letter of intent. Although, I mean, I think it has some good points to it. For some, I know the recruiting period can be a bit stressful. You have college coaches are continually hounding you, trying to get you to commit to them, trying to sell you their program. So for some, it allows them to kind of get over that all the hoopla and whatnot. It allows juniors, some high school juniors, to officially take official college visits. So we'll see more juniors taking those official visits on the college campuses. For some, by waiting until the February signing period, a recruit can weigh some different offers. They can see if I'm waiting for an Ohio State or an Oregon to come after me, I can sort of wait out. But the other side to that is you may end up losing out. If you're not one of those top players, you could potentially lose out on a scholarship. So for some, it could benefit them by getting more offers. Some, they could potentially lose some offers. I think there's probably some kids that kind of enjoy the process. But those kids that are at the top of their respective positions probably won't have to worry about losing scholarship offers. When you have some of the best programs coming after you, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, I think those schools are still going to want you. I think they're going to wait until February. If you decide to wait until February, I think they're going to be okay with waiting.
Yeah, but know what, man? Yeah, Alabama, Georgia might wait for you, but Clemson didn't wait. Clemson went out and got Taylor Lawrence out of Georgia, a quarterback who's the first. I think it's been the first time that the number one overall quarterback was such a hot target since 2009 when Matt Barkley came out of USC. Clemson just got richer. They just got another quarterback as if they needed one. Aren't they going into the playoffs?
Right. Now, speaking of the rich getting richer, Georgia, they were one of the biggest winners of this early signing period. They had Justin Fields, a QB from Georgia. They had James Cook, Dalvin Cook's little brother, sneak away, not go to Florida State where his brother went, and Georgia snatched him up. They had Cade Mays, the number three offensive tackle, who chose Georgia. And they also had number 13 overall, Brenton Cox, a defensive end from Georgia, also commit. So Georgia looks to be stacked. Well, it sounds like it doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't stop. It doesn't. The Bulldogs got a bite.
Right. A nice big bite. So rounding out the top five, you have Ohio State at number two, followed by Texas, Penn State, and Miami rounding out the top five in this early signing period.
Because HBCUs, they also focused, and I want you to go to our website and check that out, because I'll do a report on the HBCU signing as well. But as I understand it, this signing period gives – the students, like some of the players who thought that they would be at the top of the list as far as the big-time schools are concerned, once they find that they're really not at the top of the list, it gives them a chance to sign somewhere else they get to do it early, which I think is kind of cool, because now, you sign now, and then – or if you don't sign now, it's a barometer to see where you stand, to see who's going where. And then when the regular signing period comes along, then you can decide, okay – I was going to go to Georgia, but somebody like Dalvin Cook's brother is going there. So now I need to go to Florida State or right. go to somewhere else so I can get some playing time. So or to U. So, I mean, I get it.
It is surprising that they decided to have it this early. But you can see teams doing whatever it takes to have that advantage to build up their teams. And the fact that the NCAA has given them that advantage. So
the only thing I don't like about signing when it comes to the student athletes, because you're students first and then you're athletes. But once a student athlete commits to a school,
right,
and let's say now you have an early signing period, I commit to Florida State, okay, and now Jimbo Fisher decides to go to Texas Tech.
Right.
Now, since I signed early, I can take that back because the coach is leaving. So this is the early signing period. So now when it comes to the regular signing period, now, you know, I can go to the U.
You're right. You open up your recruiting again.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of like that when it comes to the student athletes. It doesn't necessarily lock them in as far as I understand.
Which is good.
It gives them options. I mean, you know, which I think is good. It is good to not have these 17, 18-year-old kids get locked into a decision, you know, and you know, they thought things were going to be one way, and then the coach leaves or things change, and they're giving them the opportunity to get back in the game and work it a little bit more, I think is beneficial for them.
Without question.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that as well.
Let's make a quick transition from college football and the signing period to college. Wait a minute. You know what? Let's do something real quick. Let's go and look at the I want to see the bowl schedule. If you missed it, the Celebration Bowl, the third annual Celebration Bowl, was on Saturday a week ago. And Grambling State and North Carolina A&T played for the National Black College Championship. Now, this truly became a National Black College Championship because Grambling State, which is number two on our Urban Media Today Black College Football Bowl, Grambling State was number one. They're the defending Black College National Champions from 2016. They came into this game with a record of 11-1. North Carolina A&T, who was number two all year, these two teams stayed in 1-2 all year on our poll and most polls when it comes to Black College football. So North Carolina A&T was 11-0. North Carolina A&T held off Grambling State and won by a score 21-14. They were powered by Mr. All Everything junior quarterback Lamar Raynard. And Lamar got help because on the offense, his running back Markell Cartwright ended up being the offensive MVP. Big ups to the Aggies of North Carolina A&T. That being said, they were announced as our national Black College champion this week. The poll is on the website, our final poll of the year. During the offseason this year, we're going to keep a focus on Black College football in a way because we're going to update you on all the college programs during the off season. So football season is not over. So the bowl season is starting, and our little birdie told me that big time conferences, they're mad that the first bowl of the season is the Celebration Bowl. They're not mad because it's a Black College Bowl or an African-American Bowl or anything to do with the African-American community. The fact is that this small bowl, which is only 3 years old, kicks off the official bowl season. Go figure. I'm excited.
I'm not sure why they're mad, though. I mean, they
– Well, because think about it.
Don't they want to be like, you know, Christmas, New Year's?
Yes. Go ahead. I'm listening.
You know, I mean, I thought, you know – that was the, like, I understand the sort of the orientation to the bowl season,
right?
But you know, the culmination, the climax was always, you know, Christmas Day, you know, right around the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl. You know, those, you know, you had all these, not, I don't want to say little bowls, but you had the build up, which I thought was, you know, that's what I was used to,
right?
So I'm not sure what's wrong with, you know,
I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm actually happy that an HBCU bowl is the very first bowl of the season.
Right.
Okay, so which is actually officially kicking off the football bowl season. So I'm loving that. And it's only 3 years old. But I say that to say this. We have to start to support that more because it used to be the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. The Air Force Reserve wasn't a major sponsor this year, so the bowl didn't have a major sponsor. But the turnout was still there. It was on ABC, kicked off at 12 noon on Saturday a week ago. Now, this is the thing that I liked. After that bowl game kicked off at 12 o'clock. You had the New Orleans Bowl, which also kicked off. Mm-hmm. You also had the Las Vegas Bowl played that day. Mm-hmm. And you had the Cura Bowl as well as the New Mexico Bowl. Mm-hmm. All those games were played on December 16th, mm-hmm. a week ago. But the key thing is that the Celebration Bowl was the first. Right. I'm loving the fact that that was the first bowl. So that means five bowl games had already been played, six bowl games, because the Camellia Bowl also played on Saturday the 16th. And then during the week, we had the Boca Raton Bowl, as well as the Miami Beach Bowl, as well as the Gasparilla Bowl, and the Bahamas Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. And that brings us up to today. And today, kicking off at 12 noon, will be the Birmingham Bowl, Texas Tech and number 20 and 23rd ranked South Florida. The Armed Forces Bowl, which is San Diego State taking on Army. And then you'll also have the Appalachian State taking on Toledo in the Dollar General Bowl. And then even on Sunday, NFL is Sunday when I'm thinking about. But in Hawaii, it's going to be the Hawaii Bowl on Sunday, Fresno State taking on Houston. So that's kicking off the bowl season. And believe it or not, next week when we come back and you hear us, we're having our little holiday party during our cast today, because it's a holiday festive season. So family's around. You hear family in the background. You hear short stuff is what I call it. There's a puppy running around and we're just having a good time. So you have those bowls, and a week from now, we'll still be talking about bowls. Right. With Christmas being on Monday, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays, as we said already. It's going to be a week full of bowls. I'm looking forward to it because, you know, Vince, you already made reference to it. It used to be New Year's Day was the bowl day because all the bowls were played on New Year's Day.
Absolutely.
So everything going from Christmas to New Year's Day, you knew New Year's Day was the culmination. So you got excited. Like, okay, I got excited to see the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, because all of them were in one day. Like, you would get in front of the TV on that Saturday and you wouldn't move until Saturday night.
That's the truth.
If I'm not mistaken, the last game you would have thought would have been the Rose Bowl, but actually the Orange Bowl would come on after that, if I'm not mistaken.
It's true.
And you know, it's just a day of bowls. So that's us telling our age first and foremost. But the only bowl that's really interesting me at this point, as I look to next week, I can't put my finger on one. I mean, the Cactus Bowl, you have Kansas State playing UCLA. Okay, that might be something. Florida State and Southern Miss, I'm not really interested because Florida State's not who they used to be.
The Cotton Bowl, Ohio State, USC.
You know what? I'm interested in that one because that's old-time rivals.
Right.
That's the old-time Rose Bowl.
Right.
So you just took the Rose Bowl from the West Coast and now you put it in Texas for the Cotton Bowl. So
two high-profile quarterbacks, JT Barrett
mm-hmm.
for Ohio State, Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. USC.
What about you, Ray?
If I had a bowl to keep an eye on.
Are you going to say Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State?
Yeah, right.
I just thought you would.
Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Now, we've been talking about UCF and how, truthfully, mm-hmm. they've not been treated fairly as the only undefeated team in college football. So this obviously will be, to use a familiar term, they're a somewhat national coming out party mm-hmm. when they get the chance to play Auburn in that Peach Bowl.
Yeah, so don't get me started on that, man.
Yeah.
This is like a coming out party. I mean, I'm already 12-0, mm-hmm. and now I still got to come out. Man, yeah, that means you ain't been paying attention to me all year long.
But that's the problem, though. Coming out party is, a lot of times people aren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they're going to say it. So I'm just echoing them. But we know how good they've been. I mean, you're 12-0, you've done something right.
All right. Mm-hmm. And see, those are just some of the bowls that are coming up this week and mostly towards the end of the week. So next Saturday, we'll have stuff to talk about as well. And then tomorrow you have Fresno State taking on Houston. And then that's it. There's no more bowl games until Tuesday. But, of course, when you speak about tomorrow, we speak about NFL. And, again, we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
What about the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl? Now, West Virginia versus Utah, that kind of intrigues me. And I'll be glued to that one. Played at the old Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
Or what's really called the Cotton Bowl.
Gotcha. And you know what? The only thing that intrigues me about that is Zaxby's. They got the best salads ever. So I don't know if you ever been eating at Zaxby's, but Zaxby's, and that's free advertisement for Zaxby's, but well, Zaxby's.
Let's be honest, it's also known for something else, too.
So let's make a transition from that. And college hoops, you know what? I kind of got disappointed, to be honest with you guys, because I thought that Duke was Mr. Everything. And the Blue Devils, you know, they lost their number one ranking. Villanova took over the number one spot. But I guess I've just been tainted. I'm so used to seeing Duke as the number one team. And then when you don't see them as the number one team, it's kind of like, okay, something's wrong with basketball, but it's really not. It's just becoming more, there's more parity in the top 25. Last week I gave you the top 25. This week I give it to you again. As of the beginning of the week, Villanova was still number one, undefeated. Then you had Michigan State, Arizona State, Duke at number four, North Carolina. You had Miami of Florida, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Xavier, and West Virginia. Interesting.
And very interesting. Interesting.
And I say interesting because, again, you don't have a Kansas in the top 10.
Ooh, that's odd.
Yeah. And that always catches my attention. If you don't see a Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, what was the other school I'm missing? North Carolina. If you don't see those schools in the top 10 when it comes to college basketball, of course, you know, Villanova and North Carolina had won the past two college championships.
Yes, sir.
So you definitely expect them to be in the top 10. And then Duke, I mean, you can't really sleep on Duke. They're always going to be around come tournament time.
Surprising to see Arizona not there. I mean, they, in my opinion, haven't really – I know they made it to the, Final Four a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they just haven't been living up to their own expectations of late. But how about Arizona State?
Yeah.
But the other Arizona.
right. So, yeah, that's interesting. Another interesting thing I wanted to bring out was Missouri. A lot of people were expecting big things from the University of Missouri this year because of a young man by the name of Michael Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. But Michael Porter Jr., he injured his back. Yeah, I see you raising your arms, Ray Porter Jr. Coach Quanzo Martin on Wednesday of this week had been interviewed in a podcast, and he said that Michael Porter Jr. had his surgery on his back and that he was walking around. He's looking good. So I don't think he'll be back with the team this year because he had back surgery. But Michael Porter Jr., who people looked at and thought was going to be nothing but big time hoops, it's good news for Missouri to know that, you know, he's had his back situation corrected and that he'll be coming back and playing, you know, next year. So good luck to that young man in his rehab. Well, matter of fact, after the holidays is when we get into conference play. Come soon. January.
Yes, sir.
So that'll be interesting. Got to see a Pitt game the other day. Pitt played Delaware State. Why is Trevin bringing up a Pitt game? Because that's usually Ray's territory. Well, got to see them playing HBCU Delaware State. And Delaware State, who's considered, or when you look at the RPI and things like that, as far as Division I basketball, it's supposed to be one of the worst. And I saw this in writing. I literally saw this in writing, that they were supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league as far as hoops is concerned. I totally disagree with that anyway. But anyway, obviously Pitt disagrees too because they only beat them by 6 points.
Right.
And they had a 22-point lead earlier in the week in that game. And, you know, they held on to pull it out. When I say held on, they literally held on. They were outscored in the second half like 46-18. And that's when you're up by 22. Are you kidding me?
Give credit to Delaware State.
Coach Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, running, Coach Walker running, had his
running
boy.
Multiple defenses out. I mean, in between plays, changing the defensive formations to confuse Pitt.
Right.
I mean, and they did the job. You know, I think even though they lost, I think it speaks volumes for those kids, their character, their resolve.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, to go up against a big time school like Pitt,
right,
and almost pull off the victory.
A big time ACC school like Pitt. Coach Keith Walker did his thing. They've only won two games. They lost out of 15. They've only won two. They were playing since game five. They've been playing without their leading scorer, sophomore Kobe Gantz from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Got to shout him out. That's my homeboy. So he actually had a knee injury early in the season, and they don't expect him back this year. They're going to redshirt him. But his 19 points per game were definitely missed in that one. And got a shout out. Now, every time I see it, when I think about this now, I think of cartoon Pinky and the Brain. And Pinky says to the Brain, "What are we going to do today, Brain?" The Brain says to Pinky, "We're going to rule the world. We're going to plan to take over the world." Well, Jaquan Pinky Wiley almost took over the world in that game against Pitt because in the second half, he just was unstoppable. He's about a 6'1 guard, and he was just quick. And as a freshman, he looked like a mature freshman to me. And I mean that in all the best ways. He just looked like he had his game with him. He let the game come to him, and he looked mature in everything that he did on the floor. So shout out to Pinky at Delaware State because he definitely had them back in that game against Pitt earlier the week. All right, gentlemen, so we talked about college football. We talked about college basketball, signing day, early signing period starting this week. So we're going to take a real quick break. This is Urban Media Today talking sports.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Hey, John McCann here, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas from Urban Media Today Radio.
All right, we're back real quick. It's the holiday season. It's Urban Media Today talking sports on Urban Media Today Radio. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., and Alan Lincoln, the big guy. We can't go away without talking NBA. That's Vince's area of expertise. And I know he'd be like, yo, man, this is supposed to be my coming out show. How are we not talking about the NBA? All right, so I got two words for you, Mr. Vince Butts. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee Bucks. No, I got two more. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Earlier this week, the Bucks took it to the Cleveland Cavaliers, man.
I know. I think you got a man crush on Giannis.
Oh, Giannis? Nah, I don't have man crushes. But I do have respect. I don't have a man crush, but I have the ultimate respect for Julius Irving, Dr. J, Michael Jordan, MJ, LeBron James, LJ. Mm-hmm. A lot of J's going on. Now, the up-and-comers right now, man, Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of them. Yeah. and actually, Lonzo Ball is another one when you give him time to grow. And then not only that, and I like Kyle Kuzma with the Lakers too, though, because Kyle is somebody to keep your eye on. But not only that, there's a guard that's playing for the Dallas Mavericks, Dennis Smith Jr. Keep your eye on him. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say that Joel Embiid and – I'm waiting for Ben to do some more things with the Sixers, but Ben is like a triple threat too. I mean, he could put up triple doubles when he gets the chance. Ben Simmons is who I'm talking about.
I mean, like, yeah, Embiid is a well-rounded basketball player. I mean, he can do it all. Mm-hmm. I think the for me, the question with Ben Simmons is he can do everything except for shoot a jump shot.
Okay.
I give him, you know, all the respect for being one of the you know, the rising young players in this league, still being able to do what he wants to do and not have a jump shot,
get away with it, so to speak.
Right. Okay. Right. NBA players are smart. Scouting reports come out, so it's going to be important for that young man in this offseason to develop, to be more of a threat, to not be so skittish about, you know, if you miss a shot. You don't go back to it, and that's what I think. That's where I think he's at right now. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to have a lot of confidence in his jump shot. So, you know, like we hear LeBron, you know, and some other players, at the end of every year they take a break, and then you hear they're in the lab again. And so, for Ben Simmons, for me, I think the next step for him is to be a more consistent jump shooter, to be aggressive taking that jump shot, and I think you'll see a more complete player from him. You know, on the to the slate of games, if you are a basketball fan, you are going to love Christmas Day. You're gonna have gifts all around.
Galore. Is it basketball all day? Actually,
all day. Is it starting at noon?
Okay, so I thought
The Sixers are gonna be at the Knicks, so you have Joel Embiid,
the unicorn,
going up against Kristaps Porzingis,
the unicorn.
He's been out for a couple games, mm-hmm. but he should be back for this matchup. Mm-hmm. They held him out because of the back acting up on him. So you have two of the best young big men in the game get set to square off in prime time, and that should be an awesome game to watch.
No match.
These teams are pretty even. You can say like Embiid can do everything. And I think he's gonna put on a show.
You know, Joel or the unicorn?
Kristaps or Joel? Both. Okay. They're both. I mean, you know, the Sixers have a little bit more. They have more talent, overall talent. But they're still figuring out, you know, even though the Knicks have a better record right now. Mm-hmm. But we talked about Ben Simmons a little bit. So I think, you know, the basketball world will get a chance to see what this young Sixers team is going to look like going forward. I think if you're a basketball fan, you're going to enjoy watching the Sixers and the Knicks. And that's, you know, right after you open your gifts, you get a chance to turn on TV and watch some NBA, mm-hmm. and you get ready for the next set of games. Cavs, Warriors.
This is Steph, Durant.
Steph will be out. He's still nursing that sprained ankle.
Okay,
so he will not be available for this game. But you know, I mean, the Warriors still have plenty of firepower.
Yeah, without question.
You know, Durant, Green, Draymond.
There's a list, man, because you got JaVale McGee on the bench. I mean, you know, come on.
And I think that's going to be the key is Cleveland's bench, their revamped bench with led by Dwayne Wade and Jeff Green. How do they hold up against the second unit of Golden State with Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, JaVale McGee?
Yep.
You know, I think that's going to go a long way towards seeing how the Cavs bench is going to become playoff time. And I know we haven't talked about Isaiah Thomas. He'll be back shortly after the year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's working out with the G League team. So finally going to start doing some 5-on-5. So looks like he'll be back very shortly. But that second game should be a doozy. If the Celtics are going to be on, Celtics will be the next game up. Wizards versus Celtics. That's going to be a matchup of John Wall versus Kyrie, and these two have had a little bit of history. They came in the league about around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who love Kyrie,
mm-hmm.
and you know, with the title of the best handle in the league,
mm-hmm.
He's won a title, so he can hang that over John Wall's head. This year, you see Kyrie leading a little bit more. So maybe he's showing that he is more of a true point guard.
Mm-hmm.
But this should be another awesome matchup. You know, but they both have help. You know, Kyrie has Al Horford, Jason Tatum, phenomenal rookie,
mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown, John Wall has Bradley Beal, mm-hmm. who is a phenomenal shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, you have the Rockets and the Thunder. You have former teammates Russell Westbrook versus James Harden. This should be another great matchup. I think the Thunder really need a win against the Rockets to prove that they have they're starting to turn around some of the problems that they're having,
mm-hmm.
and with cohesion. You know, I think you bring in Paul George and Carmelo, two ball dominant players. And I think part of it is on Westbrook to sort of help these guys along, help them fit in to what they're trying to do. So it's really important for them to get a win on the national stage against the Rockets. And the final game of the night, we have two young squads, the Timberwolves at the Lakers.
Karl Anthony Towns, that's what I got to go with in that one. But then Butler's still there too. I mean, yep. I mean, Minnesota got something going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And who are they playing?
They are playing the Lakers.
Oh, there you go. I still got to go with the big cat, though. Karl Anthony Towns in that one. Are they playing in L.A. or Minnesota?
They're playing in L.A.
Showtime. Okay. I still go with the big cat because he got the experience under his belt. Lonzo and Kyle and all those guys, they still don't have that. They're still growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go with the big cat. Carl Anthony Towns.
And you get a chance to see your man, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, Kyle, man, don't sleep on Kyle Kuzma.
You can't.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a starter, but I mean, when he gets some valuable minutes, and when he comes in, he makes some things happen. I was like, he's just so smooth when he plays. I just like that about him. So,
now, speaking of making things happen, how about that dunk by Larry Nance Jr.?
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. For you young ones, look up Larry Nance. Don't put Jr. behind it. Right, look up Larry Nance. Slam dunk champion in the NBA. Cleveland Cavaliers. Played with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Larry Nance.
I think he played with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, and he played with Phoenix as well. Like father, like son. That's why I said it. Google Larry Nance first, and then Google Larry Nance Jr. Urban Media Today talking sports. Happy holidays to you. We're in the midst of the company party. So you're going to hear people in the background because it's family, festive, family, food, fun. Did I say food? Yeah. Happy holidays to you. Trevin A. Jones here with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, and Alan Lincoln, the big guy. Gentlemen, big things happening in the NFL, unless you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But and I say big things because in New England, there's a big to-do about Tom Brady and a
his personal trainer.
Right.
Yeah, his personal trainer is not allowed at the facility anymore. It won't be a big deal. Tom wants his personal trainer. He'll get his.
There goes that one. And Tom, by the way, Mr. Brady, he's leading the NFL with 4,100 yards passing. Big Ben is right behind him with he has 4,025 yards passing. Matthew Stafford is the number three quarterback in the league as far as passing yardage is concerned. He has, 3,900 yards? Anybody surprised?
Not at all. He's getting it done. He really is, and it's very impressive.
Yeah, but he's ahead of Drew Brees right now. Drew Brees, well, you know what? I already know why. When you have Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara in your backfield, you don't have to put the ball up as much.
Nope. There's a new regime in New Orleans on how they're getting it done.
Without question. And speaking of running backs, I was talking about Kamara and Ingram. Leading running back at this point, Le'Veon Bell. Pittsburgh Steelers, that's Ray's area of expertise. He has 1,000 yards. He has 1,222 yards rushing this year.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, right behind him is Kareem Hunt from Kansas City. He has 1,000. He has 1,200 yards. And Todd Gurley, man.
He's a beast, man. He's a beast.
That game last weekend against the Rams, is like, just give him the ball. Let him go to the house. Because he scored, 4 touchdowns in that one?
That he did.
And the Rams just ate up Seattle. Did that surprise you, Ray?
It didn't surprise me at all. I mean, they're another one that knew what they were getting when they drafted him and that they didn't want to put it all on the quarterback.
Okay.
No matter how good Jared Goff is, but he still needed time to develop. But when you had a little bruiser who pretty much reminds me of how Bettis was his rookie year in Los Angeles.
But it's two different styles, right? Because, I mean, Gurley is quick.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, that's
true. Jerome is just running people over.
Oh, yeah. So maybe I'm thinking more of the results. Than the style, yeah. So just the fact that he started his rookie year, he had 1,000 yards, and now he has 1,187 right now. So, yeah, he's living up to the real deal. And it'll make him regret trading that man to Pittsburgh years ago for basically nothing. After drafting Lawrence Phillips, I'm sorry.
Lawrence Phillips, yeah. Oh. The late Lawrence Phillips. The late Lawrence Phillips. You know what? I followed Lawrence Phillips when he was at Nebraska, and I was just a Lawrence Phillips fan.
He was a beast. LP.
What? A beast. He was beyond that. And then I saw a little biography on him, the story of his life, which was interesting. But, yeah, he was definitely a beast. I was a fan of him as well. Since I'm talking about offensive leaders at this point in the season, I'll go ahead and just talk about receivers too. Antonio Brown. And I'm hoping that he comes back from the injury, the calf injury. He's not going to play this weekend. Nope. He's definitely been ruled out. But he has over 1,500 yards receiving on the year, which is crazy at 1,533. And DeAndre Hopkins from with Houston, Texas is right behind him with, 1,313. And Julio Jones, he has 1,200 yards receiving. And Keenan Allen from the Chargers, is rounding out the top four with 1,100 yards. Anybody surprised?
No.
Okay.
But here's what's going to happen, and I'm sure everybody here agrees too, because Antonio is going to be out pretty much the last two games of the season. DeAndre's probably going to catch him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, without a doubt. That doesn't take away from the performance.
No, it doesn't. It's a shame because I was thinking Brown was going to be on pace for another 1,800-yard season. Which
he would have been. I mean, if you think he had 1,533 at this point, and he had two more games left.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I could see that. With ease. What does surprise me is Adam Thielen is the fifth leading receiver in the league at this point of the year. He has 1,100 yards receiving, 1,191 with Minnesota. Minnesota by itself is just surprising.
Incredible.
To me.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, interesting. And then I'll just real quick go to the other side of the ball. Defensive leaders, I'll just talk about sacks. Chandler Jones with Arizona, 15. And Calais Campbell, Jacksonville Jaguars, 14.5. Jacksonville's defense is doing things. And they actually clinched the spot in the playoffs for the first time in a minute, right?
They did since 2007.
10 years?
Yes, sir.
It took them 10 years to get back to the playoffs?
Yep, because they averaged 3 wins a year.
And they haven't had a quarterback, really, when you think
about
it. No. Okay. All right. So, I mean, just big things there. And then DeMarcus Lawrence with Dallas. He has 13.5 tackles. Everson Griffin, Minnesota. Again, Minnesota. Okay, offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball. You have things going on in Minnesota. He has 13 sacks. And Joey Bosa. I'm a fan of Joey Bosa. Ohio State. Watched him play there. Now he's back. He's in the league after even sitting out when he first came in. His rookie year, he sat out for a minute. Decides to come in. He's making things happen. He's in the top 5 as far as sacks is concerned. He has 11.5. So that's interesting. So enough about individuals, gentlemen. Let's get to the field. This week, we're going to have some predictions, but I want to talk about this a little bit early. The city of Cleveland is planning the parade for the Cleveland Browns if they go 0-16. Right now, they're 0-14. And they almost won last week. Like, you know what, Vince? Vince. But no. There's a saying that people say in sports, sports experts and fans and people that follow games, that winners get a winning attitude and find ways to win. When you get on a losing streak, you get in a lull and you find ways to lose.
That's correct.
The Cleveland Browns last weekend, I thought they were going to get their first win of the year.
Right.
And then they just found a way to lose. Do you disagree?
Not at all. No, I mean, I can't. I had to watch it. The quarterback, he was disappointing to me. You just can't get into the red zone and turn the ball over. Like, you just can't take those opportunities away from your football team.
And do you blame that on Kaiser, really? On the young man, he's a rookie. Do you really blame that on Kaiser?
Yes, at this point in the season.
Okay.
Like, I'll forgive it early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you can't every week say, I'm gonna get better. You know, I can't make that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go out and make that mistake.
Right. What about Hugh Jackson? I mean, he's the head coach. I mean, and his offensive coordinator.
Like, you know,
I mean,
it, like, his job is to put him in position to win.
Okay.
It's up to the players to go out and perform. You know, make the right reads. You know, make the right play. There's plenty of plays in front of you. You got to make them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes watching that game, I didn't know what he was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to have a better pocket presence.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to. Sometimes you got to throw the ball away and live another day.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of throw the ball, how many years has Ben Roethlisberger been in the league?
I was going to say he beat me to it. That's where I was going.
I mean, it happens to all of them.
Yeah.
But it is, I think the bigger problem in Cleveland is the play calling. You know, you have an opportunity to bring this young man along as a quarterback and grow him, but he's been very. I think, you know, he's been hit a lot. He didn't have their best receiver until 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on in Cleveland, and none of it's very good.
Yeah, I'll say. Because when you talk about, you know, throwing the ball away, living to see another day, I got you. But there was another quarterback, and he just said it, who's been a Super Bowl quarterback who could have thrown the ball away to live another day. And I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers in that game against the New England Patriots, where Ben could have threw that ball away. He could have threw it out the back of the end zone. For those of you who didn't see it, what happened was that the Steelers actually thought they had scored a touchdown when Jesse James caught a pass right at the goal line. And when his knee hit the ground, he stretched to put the ball over to break the plane, and he lost control of it, which they said wasn't a catch. I disagree, but that's neither here nor there. What we're talking about is the fact that Big Ben got the snap. Time's running out. You're under 10 seconds on the clock. And instead of grounding the ball, which would have been spiking it into the ground to kill the clock and do the next play, he figured he didn't have time, so he tried to make a pass happen, make a play happen. And he threw an interception. And it's just like the interception the Seattle Seahawks threw against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. It's almost the exact same play type of thing to me. But I say that to say this. Kaiser is in his rookie season. Okay, with the Cleveland Browns. When does the onus of what's happening offensively fall back on the head coach and the offensive coordinator?
Oh, I mean, he has to take responsibility for some of the mishaps as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, when I watch the performance by the players, there's just some things that I think you have to be better at,
mm-hmm.
especially late in this season, you know. I mean, Ben's going to – you know, I mean, the Steelers are going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to the playoffs. I actually don't think in that game, even though they lost, I don't think it hurt them
No, it didn't. They're still, they're clinched. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, right. They're in the playoffs. And really, they, I mean, they, to me, they basically won that game. Mm-hmm. And they came down to a questionable call, you know. I mean, and you know, you talked about earlier, not wanting to go into it, but the, you know, the catch, was it a catch, was it not a catch? Mm-hmm. There's a huge debate about that across the league. But, yeah, I think the Steelers going to be fine. Big Ben's going to be fine. He still has plenty of weapons. Mm-hmm. He's established in his league. He can afford to make a mistake every once in a while. When you're a rookie and you lead the league in interceptions, like he's on a pace that's ridiculous in terms of interceptions. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, at some point you've got to not make those mistakes.
Yeah, but Deshaun, like I said, Deshaun is a rookie. I mean, you're a rookie. Not only are you a rookie, but you're a rookie with the worst team in the league. And at this point in time, if he's going to make mistakes, this is the time, in my opinion, this is the time for him to make them. And when I'm talking about the offensive coordinator, I'm talking about Pep Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And I got the utmost respect for Pep Hamilton, HBCU grad. He's been coaching at other places. He actually coached at Indianapolis, if I'm not mistaken, before he came to the Browns. Mm-hmm. And he's well known for what he's done as far as offenses are concerned. He's an offensive genius. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, when you have a quarterback that's as young as Deshaun Kizer, and you have the head coach, Hugh Jackson, who's, what, second year there or third year? Second year in Cleveland.
Yep,
second year in Cleveland. When does it say you don't look at Deshaun, who's developing, you know, because not everybody can play, be a starting quarterback your rookie year in the NFL. Mm-hmm. When does the onus come off of him and go on, like, look, you already got rid of Sasha. When do you start looking at Pep and Hugh?
I mean, hopefully they've already started looking. I mean,
okay,
you know, I mean, every when you lose, like, everyone has to share in the blame.
All right, so gentlemen, move on from there. Ray, I gotta talk to you about the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. What's happening? I mean, I am worried because there's a hole in the middle of that defense that is just, it's like you're shining a bright light when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Right. And I'm talking about missing your middle linebacker. And also, Joe Hayden, when's he coming back?
According to Tomlin, it could be Monday versus Houston.
On Christmas Day, what a gift.
Yes, sir.
This is a perfect present. Okay.
Him and Marcus Gilbert, who was suspended for 4 games, he'll be back as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, I think that they played well in his absence on Sunday. I point the finger at the corners and the safeties.
Well, we were just talking about Joe Hayden.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And also, just the fact that the defensive coordinator could have made better decisions on how to cover Gronk. I mean, he's going to get his. We've seen it. But at least try to double-team him. At least do something, especially on a two-point conversion. They could have at least double-teamed him there. And that way, it could have lined up Boswell for a game-winning field goal. So, you know, they've made significant strides this year, but they still have a ways to go. And that game has proved it, especially when you were up 24-16. Early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I mean, when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive coordinator, isn't that Kevin Butler?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Coach Butler.
Keith Butler.
I mean, Keith Butler. I'm sorry. Keith Butler. What is it that you can't figure out when it comes to Rob Gronkowski against your defense?
If my son, 9 years old, who was watching the game, could figure it out, you figure they could.
Well, you know what? And no disrespect to your son, but all of us sitting at home think we know the game. You know, all of us sitting at home watching, we're seeing it from that perspective. We think we know, okay, coach, figure that out. We're not on the field. The game moves so fast. Mm-hmm. And my question is just this, you know, and all three of you can answer it. When you're a defensive coordinator with that much experience, not only in the game, but that much experience against one person who is a weapon, one of the main weapons for the same team, Kryptonite, that you face – on a regular basis, you see him, what, twice a year? You see him at least 2 times a year. Why can you not stop Rob Gronkowski?
I agree. Same reason why they had troubles preventing getting trounced from Brady in years past, because they decided to keep playing zone when playing man was proven to be more effective.
So was Ryan Shazier that much of a key? Would he have been the person? Now, he wouldn't have been close to covering Gronk. If he came across the middle, you know, on a shallow pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what do you do? I mean, because Gronk, I guess they kind of held him. No, they really didn't hold him in check.
In the first half, they held him in check. In the first half, they had a man under and a man over the top.
Right.
In the second half, and particularly the last drive, they went single man up coverage with safety covering him.
Mm-hmm. And you can't go man-to-man against Gronk.
And he made four catches down that stretch for the last touchdown drive.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was spectacular. And the other two, the first two in particular, was just bad coverage. And then the two-point extra point was just inconceivable that you'd leave him man-on-man after he's had such a run like that.
Right.
Brady was quoted in, as saying that any time he sees him
he's throwing the ball.
Man-to-man, he's throwing the ball because he can outmaneuver whoever is covering him. I don't think that Ryan is a tremendous linebacker. His presence in the game might have helped them with the short underneath coverage with everybody. But it really comes down to the GOAT. The GOAT. Mr. Tom Brady is going to find your weakness by the end of any particular game, and he certainly found it against Pittsburgh. I felt going into the game that Pittsburgh had to outscore them, not try to out-defense them. And quite frankly, they outscored them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go into the catch because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I've talked about it for and they've outscored them. So the NFL has some work to do, and they've got to clean up the game to make the game more enjoyable for the fans again, and so that the fans know what a catch is or what a catch isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even the head of referee for the NFL describing it said that Ben threw the ball and James made a catch, then he fumbled it. Well, you said he made a catch, so how can he made a catch and then fumbled it, then it's Pittsburgh's ball on the one-yard line.
Right.
But it's just they don't know what they're talking about, so that's the downside of it. But before you guys start in on me, I went 0-3, listeners, last week. It was a disaster for me, but I'm still leading in the polls.
You know, it is rare to see you go 0-3, Alan.
Where you are getting paid today, don't worry.
Yeah, whatever, man.
I'm saying it is. Whatever, but like you say, the stats prove it. He has never went 0-3 this season.
Well, I have an issue with you calling Tom Brady the GOAT, but we'll talk about that next week. And it's a perfect segue into our picks because Allen right now at this point of the season, he's 20-7, even though he lost three games last week. He was shut out. And that has an asterisk next to it because he told me he picked Kansas City, but you know, we have him down picking the Chargers. So as Allen says, check the tape. and then Ray wasn't with us last week, so he's 15-9 right now. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Vince, who was upset because he thought he ground gain on Allen. Well, he kind of fell off last week, too. Now he's 17-10, and I'm 13-11, so I'm only two games over 500 right now. But that's cool because I ain't mad. Watch and see what happens. All right, so this week's games will be the Cleveland Browns at the Chicago Bears. And Allen was like, what? Yeah, well, there's a reason for that one. Also, the Rams at the Titans and the Falcons at the Saints. First and foremost, the Cleveland Browns, we picked them because they're trying to avoid being an 0-for. Right now, they're 0-for-14, and they take on the Chicago Bears in Chicago. We'll start with Ray, since you're back. Who are you going with, Ray?
Well, I believe that – well, first of all, let me backtrack. It's really amazing that this Chicago Bears team upset the Steelers earlier this season and to see how they have faltered against so many other teams. I honestly believe that this game will prove that Cleveland does not want to go 0-16, and they won't. So I believe that Kaiser and company, Hugh Jackson and all of them, this is going to be their game in which they can pop the champagne and do whatever else.
What's the score?
Winning the game 16-10.
16-10. You're going with Cleveland.
I'm going with Cleveland because I want to see them win their first one.
Ah, Vince, you're his buddy now. Vince, who you going with?
I don't. This is a tough one. In a lot of ways, I think the Bears are better than the Browns. I don't want to see the Browns go over, and this is their last chance to get a victory this season, with Pittsburgh following. So unless Pittsburgh rests everybody, but I think my heart is going to go with the Browns. My brain is telling me something different, but I'm going to go Browns 13, Bears 10.
So you're going to Cleveland 13-10. All right, over the Chicago Bears. And I can't wait to hear what Alan's about to say. But go ahead, Alan, who you got?
Well, I'm back. Both of them picked Cleveland.
So I know who you're picking.
I'll take Chicago.
19-17.
Chicago. Both rookie quarterbacks. I'm not sure that Deshaun will last the whole game before they pull him.
Okay.
And I don't even know who their backup quarterback is, because they got to be awful bad that they haven't played him. Chicago has a great running game. They have two great running backs, and with Howard and Cohen, and I think they'll come out and really put the ball on the ground against Cleveland and be able to control the game. So 19-17, Chicago.
So you're going 19-17 as well, but you're going Chicago. Oh, you're going 19-17 Chicago. Okay, got you. I am like Vince. I don't know. My heart wants to tell me to go with the Cleveland Browns, because I don't want to see them going 0-4. And Allen makes a good point, though, because once you get past Deshaun Kizer, you know, at the quarterback spot, you got Cody Kessler. No, even though he did go to USC, I'm a USC Trojan fan, but I'm not going with Cody. So I am going with Tariq Cohen, special teams, HBCU grad, North Carolina A&T, last year's Deacon Jones Player of the Year. So I got to go with Chicago, the first rookie since Gale Sayers to score a touchdown every way you can as an offensive player. So got to go with that type of talent, and I'm going to say Chicago because I am not sold on Trubisky. The Bears quarterback, but I'm gonna go with Chicago, 21-14 Chicago. Okay, so now Ray, we'll go back to you. The next game is the LA Rams at the Tennessee Titans,
the Jeff Fisher Bowl. How about that? Maybe he'll show up at the game.
Okay,
both teams got better when he left, huh?
Right.
Apparently the Rams are on fire this year, and I can't see a team like Tennessee who lost their fire weeks ago, stopping them. So I expect Todd Gurley, Jared Goff and company, Aaron Donald, to get it done against Tennessee by a score of 30-3.
30-3. You saw that game against Seattle. And that's what you saw. Okay. Wait, so you got?
I agree with Ray. I think the Rams are on fire. The Titans just don't have enough. So I'm going to go Rams 31, Titans 17.
31-17, L.A. Okay, Alan, who you got?
You know, I really hate going along with Ray and Vince. But this is really a no-brainer. I'm going with the Rams 28, Titans 17.
28-17, the Rams and the Titans. Okay, Trevin, I got to make up ground on these guys. So, that being said, I'm going with the upset. I'm going to pick Tennessee over the Rams, and the reason I'm going to pick upset is because it won't be as much scoring. Tennessee got to see Todd Gurley, and they're going to try to figure out a way to stop him. Jared Goff, I don't know if they'll stop him, but I'm going to go with Tennessee, and we'll make it a low-scoring game. We'll make it 21-14 Tennessee. Yep, I said it. It's on tape. Let it be said. Let it be written. Next up is the Falcons at the Saints. Ray, who you got?
This was last year. I would say the Falcons in a landslide, but they are a shadow of last year's team. And at 9-5, I still, you know, just apparently they're still going to make the playoffs. But New Orleans 10-4 coming into the game, I think that they have the edge because they have switched up their game plan, and I think they're going to run all over Atlanta by a score, and it's going to be a close one by a score of 30-28.
30-28, New Orleans.
New Orleans, yes, sir.
30-28. Vince, who you got?
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. I think Saints are just A little bit better. A little bit better on defense, a little bit better on offense. So I'm going to go Saints 31, Falcons 28.
31-28, New Orleans. Allen, who you got?
I have the Saints 31, Falcons 28.
Same score. Wow.
I think the Saints are ready, and I wish I was down there for some beignets and coffee. But that'll wait until next week.
Gotcha. Crawfish etouffee. That's what I remember when I think about New Orleans. But thinking about the Bayou and the Saints, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. That's all I got to say. Drew Brees can rest his arm. So I'm going with New Orleans as well. Looks like a sweep for the Saints. New Orleans, I think it's going to be a bit higher. I'm going to go 40-33. We're going to get some insightful words in this part of the show. Words, big words from the big guy. You got it, Alan.
Bernard Clark was named the new head coach at Robert Morris University for their football team. He said he has three exceptions for his players. First is punctuality. They must be on time. Second is no cell phones during team meetings. And if they do bring their cell phones in and they go off, he takes them from them for 48 hours. The third is that players, regardless of race, refrain from using the N-word. I don't want to hear it from black players. I don't want to hear it from white players, Clark said. Now this caused me to start thinking, so why do people use the N-word? The N-word came about from the Spanish word nigar and negro, meaning black, which used to describe black people. The meaning of the word nigger is for ignorant people. Now, who can use the N-word? That's the wrong question. There are some of the many ways suggested we could deal with the N-word. We can take the venom out of it by assuming ownership of it and using it affectionately. Black people shouldn't use it if they don't want anyone else to use it. It can never be used in a positive way. It will just go away if anyone stops using it. To the extent that any of these prescriptions are true, they're only true in the narrowest of sense. There's this fiction that there are arbitrators who can grant people permission to say the word and set the rules around how to say it. But there are no rules. There are only contents and consequences. When Asian folks or Latinos or white folks ask why they can't say it, but black people can, the question misses the point. Anyone can say it. They just have to deal with the consequences. As we saw this week in the case of the word being used too often, even black people can't say it to black folks without consequences. Hell, there are even spaces where not saying it will earn you a side-eye. So in this recent NPR columnist, Gene Durber said, you have to know the meaning of the word. So in 2017 and beyond, we will be dealing with people who are mean and try to arouse a spirit in people that does nothing for our ability to coexist in a world filled with diversity, not hate. So stop it. Learn to be bigger than those who would try to tear us apart. With Urban Media Today, pray that you have a safe and blessed holiday. And for God's sake, quit using the N-word.
You just heard the big words from the big guy. Man, what? We all want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm Trevin, and I wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But I get to talk to you before the New Year. But definitely be safe this weekend. Enjoy the bowl games today. Enjoy the NFL games tomorrow. And have a Merry, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a safe, happy holiday.
Just wanted to wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas. There is a lot of sports events going on, as we know, but also remember that priceless time with your families and all the gifts that you may be receiving. And I just hope you just enjoy yourself, that it'll be a memorable day, a memorable experience that you can't put a price tag on. So once again, Merry Christmas.
Again, it's Urban Media Today, talking sports on Urban Media Today Radio. Trevin A. Jones here with Vince Butts and Mr. Ray Porter Jr., as well as the big guy, Mr. Alan Lincoln. As we said, we're wishing all of you a Merry, Merry Christmas. And for those of you who are going through something right now at this time of year, just know you're not alone. So always reach out to a friend, reach out to a neighbor, family, reach out to the person that's closest to you or who knows you, and let them share in it with you, because a lot of us are going through some things. But again, you're not alone. We'll see you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing down? I get up, all right?